Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Praise the Lord, church. How y'all doing today? Doing good? I'm excited, and I know it's a cliche to say I'm excited to be the house of the Lord today. I know people tend to say that word. I'm excited to be, but I am actually excited to be here today because I get to preach the word, but also I get to preach about the living God. How many can say amen to that? Well, today's message is a little different. I'm going to be talking about what we're seeing today in society, and we've been looking at the world has been canceling everything and everything on its way. But also, I see a generation within the church still that's canceling the kingdom. And we're pushing people away from the church. People don't want to come to church anymore. So what happens? Then there's a void right there, and that void needs to be filled. So today's title is called You've Been Canceled. I couldn't put it any other better way, because all we see today is being canceled from our friends because they didn't like our posts. Social media has been one of the culprits that we've been seeing lately. We've taken Aunt Jemima off the bookshelves because people don't like it because it's very racist now to have a black woman there, but it has a history behind that, you know? But just because you didn't like it, I'm gonna take it off and take it off as well. So the thing is, we have come to some very ridiculous things, and we have to put our eyes and set it on our eyes on Jesus Christ. So again, I say that the word cancel culture is everywhere and has become more prevalent and popular since 2020. And it has been like a brush fire. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's been like a brush fire sweeping the nation. And as a church, we're part of that as well. I'm going to say it right now. We fell into that as well, in the trap of it. This has affected of how we think and behave amongst each other. We tend to question others and counsel them for thinking differently. Ain't no different from the Bible days. The own people of God canceled Jesus for being different. Went as far as taking him to the cross, but we all know that it had a beautiful exchange. So what was meant to be something detrimental, something victorious came out of that. It's amazing how we shifted our attention to what's happening more in the world and less of our attention in Christ. Why do I say this? Well, because the church has changed immensely to a great extent that it does not want nothing with God as well. We are seeing a great fallout of Christian personalities of the faith turning away from God. I always say this, if you're from God, trust me, there's going to bear fruit out of that. You know you're walking in Christ when you see fruit. People can see it all around you. You can see the anointing kind of dripping away from you. And people see that. In the scripture, it says in Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. What are we seeing nowadays? We see doctrines, false things, false teachers coming out. And I'm going to call it out. There's a lot of prosperity doctrines being out there. If you don't give, trust me, you're not holy enough. And that's wrongdoing of the enemy. Just because you don't give doesn't mean you're less holy. Doesn't mean that. What God is seeking is a true heart, those who can come right now to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have canceled the very purpose and the principles which we grew up hearing in the faith. This should be alarming to most of us. Are you aligned with Christ or with the world? Where are you at right now? I want to go to my key scripture of the day. If you guys can turn your Bible into the book of John, chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. I'm going to base the scripture today based off this verse, and we're going to capitalize on this and grow from this. Once you're there, give me amen. John 15, 18 to 19. And it says this: if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So it makes no difference right now where we're at standing. You're still going to be hated because of your faith in Christ. So it shouldn't be a struggle to go as far as to go all to the end of the world to let people know about Christ. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right now. The most important thing is right now is Christ reigning over your life right now. So let's continue with this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Again, I was refraining in and out to the word kingdom cancel culture. I've seen this time after time where the own people of God have canceled within the church. We have made a separation because of what our belief systems are. Yet these belief systems don't come from the Bible. They come from the outside world. And we brought them into church thinking that it's the correct thing to do because it's politically correct to think that way. We have canceled the very purpose and the principles which we grew up here in the faith. This should be alarming to most of us. And I say this again, are you aligned with Christ? I like to repeat over and over again because it needs to sink in. Are you truly with Christ right now? Are you walking with him? Is there conviction in your heart right now to say that I can go as far as to for you, Christ? How many of us in this place, I'm not asking to raise your hand right now. How many in your hearts right now are aligned with Christ? We need to start showing grace to others, even when we also mess up in our own iniquities. Because we tend to point the fingers and we want to cancel people for what they believe in. I believe that the Church of God right now thinks differently or otherwise, right? The very church is at fault for pushing many within the church out. We act more in a religious spirit and not in love. We tend to point the finger and forget we were once in that position. We as a church need to take the word cancel culture and turn it around and stop being so hard within the church and outside of it. We got to take the word cancel, remind people that Christ came to cancel debt. Christ came to cancel sickness, cancel anything that has to do with sin. So we got to flip it around now, church. It's time. We can't be playing with Christ no more. Yes, the kingdom cancel culture is prevalent within the people of God too. If people want to come to God, we need to be the church God intended since the beginning of time. That's a place, a point in time or a space at which something starts. So where are you starting right now? Are you in the beginning? Are you at the end? In Spanish, we will say, are you la cabeza or you're the cola? Are you the head or the tail? As stewards that Christ has given us the stewardship to live this life, we need to be the heads. God intended more for you. God intended for us to grasp the things that he has given us, to multiply them, because he's given you authority over things in this world. And we have to take back what God has given us and what the enemy also has stolen away from us. So today's message is going to be different, and we're going to align scripture with what we see today in culture. So when I think about the word cancel, it means to eradicate, remove someone for saying something that's inappropriate or something that someone didn't like. How many times you said something to someone and they came up to you and said, you know what, I don't like what you're talking about. I don't like what you're saying to me. Did you take the time to overthink and said, is something wrong with me? Now, we have a generation now where if you tell someone something, they don't want to own up to it. People don't want to take responsibility of the things and the actions that they've done. And also, too, that doesn't just go for the world. It goes for the Christian folks as well, too. We need to take responsibility of the things that come out of our mouth. Because what comes out of our mouth is more venomous than what comes in the mouth. The book of James talks about that. If you go back to Bible times, I'm reminded of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious group who had the truth, but they were so far apart from it. How many times we thought we had the truth, but we were so wrong? The mobs in the scripture canceled the best man who ever lived. This tells us the mobs do not always get it right. So it says this, that Pontius Pilate, when he called together the chief of priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I found no fault in this man. Neither did Herod, and nothing deserving of death has been done by him." But what did the people shout? "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them, "Why? What evil has done? I have found no reason for death in him." But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he is to be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And this is in Luke 23:13-24, if you want to write that down. But this kind of high regard for Jesus is by no means universal. Even in scripture, we find people who reacted to Jesus with hostility. And chief among these people are the scribes and Pharisees. We read in Luke 20 that the scribes and the chief priests sought to have Jesus arrested. In John 5, we are told that they wanted to kill him. And in chapter 8 and 10, they tried to stone him. Jesus comes in the scene and starts calling them out and canceling the religiosity that they were living. How many times have we found ourselves in a position like this where we became religious and we forgot to love on people and show grace to people? I'll be the first one to say it. This preaching is for me too, because I was in this circle as well. No one's excluded. We all have purpose in life. Yes, we do. But we also have to give accounts to Christ for the things that we've done. So by this point, they realized that someone was going to go against them. I'm talking about the Pharisees and scribes. We see today's generation, today's world, the White House, and everybody out there chanting and making a political statement about everything. They're out to go against us. We got to fight back. We got to be patriots. I have something against that word just a little bit. And I'll say why right now. It might come to a little different. I'm saying that patriots not a bad thing, but when you make patriotism and Christ not the center of everything that you're doing, it becomes a problem. Because we put more patriotism and Christ behind. I'm not for saying that it's wrong to be a patriot, no. I'm glad that I live in the United States of America because I have freedom. And because of the virtues and the things that what it stands, that we have freedom because of the things that we put our foundation in Christ. But it becomes a problem when we put those things more important than Christ in our lives. Christ should be the patriot of our lives. Christ should be the one leading us, not what the White House is saying. So in today's world, if you want to talk about truth and facts, you will get canceled. We have come so far that the truth has become so twisted that no one can tell right from wrong. And the enemy has brought so much confusion to a world that is in a desperate need of a savior. Are you going to be that savior? Are you going to be that light to someone else? Where are you in your walk with God right now? Chapter John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we know for those who walk," here again, I mean, they make a statement here. "But we know for those who walk in the light have seen Jesus and know the truth." So if we're walking in the light, then what are we showing to people outside? There's got to be conviction in the words. If you want to walk in Christ, you have to walk the walk and do the talk as well. Not just the talk. Because we have a lot of Christians in church doing a lot of talking, not a lot of walking. So you find them in church sitting down in the pews worshiping God. But when they got out those doors, it's a whole different Christian. It's a closet Christian that comes out only on Sundays. And they forget about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And again, repeat, rinse, repeat. But sometimes in that rinse, they don't get cleansed. So the first man that comes to mind is Paul. How many know Paul? We know Paul was a vicious man before meeting Christ. The first man to begin a crusade to kill believers and cancel them was him. So the storyline about Paul is this. He was a man who was educated from the best of the best of this. We can probably compare it to Harvard at that time. You're talking about an educated man going after Christians because of his belief system. He was a tent maker, a successful one. He had a high social profile. He had great standing amongst his people in the Jews. But Paul, before conversion, was a man after the people of God. As the faith spread beyond Jerusalem to Damascus, Syria, and Antioch, and elsewhere, these followers of the way irritated Paul so much and incited Paul's ire. We're not precisely certain why, but we gather that Paul wanted them eradicated lest they compromise to the Jewish faith in the Torah. Do we see that today? Because we don't compromise to the White House saying, you're going to be canceled because you're vaxxed or unvaxxed, because you got a mask or don't have a mask, and you're after people, and you have separated people because this is not my group. They're not vaxxed. We got to call it for what it is, church. We made a separation between our people. We have let skin color, race, divide us between us as well. I don't see, and the thing is, I'm going to say this very carefully, because when we're in Christ, we're not supposed to see skin color, but we have to see the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the color that we have to see. And that's the blood of Christ that we have to see in church today. I'm all for equality, yes. Does racism exist? Yes, it does. But you know what also is important? You have to recognize that we have a sin issue. And that's the problem. I can talk about skin. I can talk about someone cursing me. It's issues of the heart that we have problems with. And if you don't turn it around and you let Christ work in you, you're going to continue being the same old man always. And the same old man is always going to come out. We read this in the book of Romans. Those who are new creatures in him, new creatures, not old creatures. And we have to start living by the name, being new, renewing of the mind every single day. If you have issues with that, you better go back to Christ. So again, we see Paul canceling, chasing after the people of God, Christians, because of the beliefs. And it was so difficult to understand this as I was reading. God, you chose a man like Paul. You can choose anybody else, but you chose Paul. You might think about it right now. God, I am so vile. I am so bad. But yet you still decided to choose me and to use me. If Paul was in that position, you can also be in the same position as well within the kingdom of Christ. He was a zealot trying to preserve the faith he loved. I read this right. Trying to preserve the faith that he loved. This is a religious spirit here. And when we have religious spirits, our minds become fogged up. So when I see this man on a horse riding, Jesus comes to him in a revelation and tells him, what are you doing, Paul? Why are you chasing after my people? We get so blinded, church, from ourselves sometimes that we forget what the most important thing is to love on others. In Acts 22, if you want to open up your Bible, in Acts 22, verses 4 to 5, we're continuing on with Paul. We're continuing on with this right here. Acts 22, 4 to 5. You might have a different version from me, but it says this on 4. I worked hard and killed men and women who believed as I believe today. I put them in chains and sent them to prison. the head religious leader and the leaders of the people can tell you that this is true. I got letters from them to take our Jewish brothers in the city of Damascus. I was going there to put the Christians in chains and bring them to Jerusalem where they would be beaten. We have mobs these days. We call them outside, just to be more relevant, outside. And we see Antifa, and we see these people because of their belief system, it's the right way. But they're so blinded for what's happening. And the thing is, when we let those things in life, and we're so blinded with our own sin and what we believe is right, that we have no room for Christ anymore. We have to let God be the Godhead of our lives. We have to give that room, that extra space that we still have aside. And the reason why I say the extra space is because when we come to Christ, we tend to proclaim and declare to God, I give you everything. But what is everything? Have you surrendered everything to Christ? Even the small crevice that's right there still? We have not yet, because we continue living the same life time after time. And we continue being the same Christians, washed up Christians, without not showing grace and mercy. And God wants to turn that around so people can see the Christ that you have inside. But it cannot be seen because we're so blinded by our own mistakes, by our own transgressions. And we continue crucifying the same person over again. Pobrecito yo, poor me, poor me, poor me. No, you have to live the victorious life that God intended for you to live already. If he said it already, why do you continue with the small mind thinking that you're not good enough? And that's the thing that the enemy does. He uses a certain part of your life and he opens up the same wound again and the scab again to make you think that you're still the same person. But let me tell you, he is wrong. God came to cancel that. In form of a flesh, Jesus came to save us from our iniquities, to save us from the things of this world, because he loved us so much. When we see our surroundings these days, politics have taken over, and we have made an issue about everything. Everything except pointing our lives back to Jesus. We drifted away by signaling people, and I say this again, for not being vaxxed or vaxxed, shunned people away and turned away because they're not wearing their masks or not wearing their masks. We have gone back to focus on skin, race, and where you come from. We have got sucked into the matters of the world. But all I see is a sin issue that has separated us even more from the truth. While we focus on millions of people, again, I say this again, while we focus more on us, millions of people are dying without Christ. Because the church is so focused on themselves. And focus by means is that it's all about me. But Paul gets the revelation, and for the first time, he's able to see his true nature. You have to see first and recognize your true nature as Christians. You have to come to means to yourself. You have to recognize in Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the first steps, you have to recognize what? That you got a problem. And that problem is a sin problem. And you need to surrender that first to Christ. Then you can continue on with the next steps. So Paul says in Galatians 1:2, I received my message from no human source. I'm going to come back to that right now. And no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. I received my message from no human source. In today's generation, we receive resources and sources from social media, from the news. And we're going towards that direction and more or less in the direction what the Word of God says. If the truth is right in front of us, that the Word says, it shall set you free. I love how Paul makes reference to the statement that he did not receive the message from no human source. You see, it goes beyond man belief and what we are fed daily in this world. Paul had his eyes set on Jesus. The very moment that he got the revelation, the moment Christ revealed himself to him, Paul was able to see his nakedness and true essence of his sin. That's why he had to stop attacking the people of God. And we know forth what happened from that point on. Paul came to be such a great apostle and became such a great man. I want to talk about one of the main characters that we see throughout the Bible, Satan himself. Now, if you can't recognize when Satan is at work, let me tell you something. You need to start seeing where you are with Christ. You start getting revelation and you start seeing things in the spiritual realm. It took me time to understand it's coming from a, I'm not going to say where I came from because I don't want to put tags and names that they taught me. Don't say names, Josh. But where I came from church before, it was so hard for me to understand the things of the spiritual realm. We talked about the spirit, but we did not understand the things and the evil things out there and what they can do and attack you. So and the importance of not giving credit to Satan, because I don't want to be about that person where, oh, we got to blame Satan for everything. No, sometimes it's just yourself. It's just me being Josh and Josh being me. We cannot blame the enemy for everything. So you got to take account to what you've done. So we see this individual who comes to mind as Satan. Way before Christ came into this world, he had a bounty on him. Satan used King Herod. That was the first time that we see that the enemy was out to get him. Or put it this way, the enemy was out to get you. The moment you met Christ. The Bible says he initiated a murder of all infants in Bethlehem and an attempt to get rid of baby Jesus. He used Judas by betraying him and turning him into his own people. Another time Satan tried to have Jesus fall was an attempt to make him sin by tempting him. But that didn't do it. And I'm glad that didn't happen, because we will not be here in this place right now if Jesus fell to the hands of the enemy. He was victorious. And you have to remind yourself every day that the blood of Jesus Christ is in you. And it has already victory. And it has won every single thing that you're going to go through in this life. And that's the mentality as Christians that we're supposed to have. That I am victorious. God has done it for me time after time. It doesn't matter if I fall, I'm going to get back up again. And his grace and his mercy is going to push me forward. Thank you, Jesus. I'm coming to a close here. I'm very short here, but I like to be very practical when we say this. I got 3 points for you today. I got 3 points. I want you guys to write these down. The first point is this. In order for us to love on others, we need to die to thyself. That's the first thing that we must do. In the book of Matthew 22:39, it says this. Love what? Your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you love thyself. In order for a shift to happen in this culture that is self-centered, it needs to change, and it begins by loving on people. Versus indicating and implicating, if you love yourself, love on others. It was never meant to be lovers of yourself and then love on others. See, the world tells you, psychology teaches you, first you gotta love yourself. First you gotta love yourself. I think there's too much love going on with yourself already. That's the problem. And you become self-centered. That you forget to love on others now. 2 Timothy 3:2 puts it this way. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing of God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. And we see that today. Paul continues speaking to the church by ending and saying they will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now I say that because there's a lot of church folks within the church that have a form of godliness, but denying its power, what it can do. That's strong to hear, because I've seen it, and I don't want to attack. No, this is not to attack. This is to bring discernment to the word and what's happening nowadays in church. But this is called tough love. And Christ is going to show tough love to us. Why? Because he loves us so much. So what about the church? That's a question for you. Where does it stand today? Do you stand in love or hatred towards your neighbor? My second point, I have to have constant communication with God. Constant communication. I heard this preaching a long time ago, and it said that if you give 1 inch, just an inch to the enemy, he's going to devour you like a lion. Just 1 inch. That's all the enemy needs to take control of your life. If you think about it, most drug addicts, when they fall into temptation, just a little bit. It's just a little bit. It ain't going to hurt. And the same thing to anything else that you do in life. If I just give a little just to this, I'm going to fall back to my old ways. This is why it's so important that we have to have constant communication with God. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, throughout the whole week, I'm so busy that I forget to talk to God. I ain't afraid to say that because that happens. And I know most people in this house sometimes forget to talk to God because they're so busy with the world. The point is not that you must read the Bible. Let's get this straight. Every minute of the day. No, I'm not saying that. It means being in his word so that it will permeate your thinking, keeping you constantly aware of how easy it is for your me to flash. It takes a deliberate choice to follow the Holy Spirit rather than your sin nature. Why is it you see most times that it's much easier to fall than to get back up again? Why is it that you see people being negative instead of showing positive, reinforcing somebody? Everybody likes the negative thing first. And the first thing you do bad, they go after you. I have to choose to do the right thing always. It has to be deliberate. The book of Thessalonians says, don't get tired of doing good. Never get tired. So in order for God's word to permeate in me, I need to be in the word of God. And by being in the word of God, it will direct me towards loving on people. It's not forcefully done. No. When you put and set your eyes on Jesus, trust me, you're going to learn how to love. This is a love that you cannot do on your own. But it's a love that God has given us. Amen. Now finish with the last point. Something that we have lost in this generation because people are so into themselves. The third point is become the servant. Think about it. What did Jesus do? He didn't come here to be served. He came to serve. And this is why we're here today, because someone took the time outside of their time to preach us about Jesus Christ. They became the servant. This is why we're here. In this generation, people want to be served, but do not want to serve others. We have come this far where people have become lovers of themselves. Selfie time. People don't have disregard for any others anymore. They don't. God is not looking for a preacher, no. An evangelist, no. An apostle, no. Or the best deacon in the house, no. And the list continues. He is looking for a servant that will say yes to the call and be about the kingdom. But I'm reminded how Jesus came into this world to serve and not be served. Yet, he always had a bounty on him since birth. But be reminded of what John says in chapter 15, 18, 19, say my key verse. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We need to be that generation to let people know that Christ came to cancel debt, came to cancel death, came to cancel depression, sickness, to set the captive free from their ways. He is still here to restore lives, and he's still about making miracles. I leave you with this. How should Christians respond to the cancel culture? And I came with this summary. Christians are called to love their neighbor as they love themselves. Believers, here we go, do not keep a record of wrongs. Let me just say that right now. We do not keep records of wrongs. The cancel culture stalks social media for any comment that would warrant a cancellation on you. At work, I know there's people in this house right now that probably lost their jobs for not taking the vaccination. Friends, and you think about it, you go like, wow, we are in end times. We are living some desperate times. And this is the time that the church needs to get back out there again. And make it about souls again. And make it about the kingdom again. Not about us, but about the kingdom of Christ. Cancel culture uses the failures or mistakes of others against them. Jesus responds differently. Jesus does not cancel us. Jesus cancels our sins. Jesus does not cancel our mistakes. He restores us. And I thank God for restoring us every single day, because I could not do it alone. Because His mercies are new every day in my life. Everybody, please stand up. Let's stand up right now. I'm done already. I told you I was going to be short. I like to respect people's time. But with this said, I want everybody just to feel free right now. Just lift up your hands right now, wherever you're at. Lift up your hands. I want you to look deep down in your heart right now and start thinking of that person who needs Christ in their lives. If probably you were in that situation like Paul was, in a religious spirit attacking people for what you thought was correct and not what Christ meant for them, it's time to start going back into the beginning again. It's time to start having a shift in a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to You right now, Father. Start restoring lives right now. Start correcting wrongs, Father, things that we've done, things that we said to people, people that probably we hurt, God, and they left the church because of our own saying, God. Restore hearts again, Father. Restore our hearts that we might come to that one place where it all started, God, and that was with love, Father. Bring unity again to this generation, Father. We start praying and lifting people up right now. Generations, God, curses, God, start cleaning, Father. Start cleansing again, Father. Cleanse right now. There's something right now in this place that I have to say, cleanse right now to somebody. Cleansing starts with Christ. And the Holy Spirit right now wants to say to you, you have to start again. You have to start cleansing again your place, the secret garden where you used to meet God. And God has not been there because you've been in sin and living in sin. Christ wants to restore again what was stolen from the enemy. God, we come to You right now, Father, with hands open wide right now. We want to praise You, Father. We want to love on You, Father. But in our hearts, God, we still find difficulty, Father, to love on people, to love on my family members, to love on my friends. Teach me, Father. Teach me to love again on people. Open my heart. Heal these wounds, Father, so I can continue doing what You have called me to do. And that's to be about the kingdom and Your business, God. So we come right now, God. Heal us first. We need healing in the mighty name of Jesus right now, God. Let Your blood just start shedding all over our lives right now, God. Bring restoration right now, God, that we may also be able to forgive others for what they've done. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that all these things, Father, that You have taught us today, let it be something different. Let it stir up in our hearts. Let it bring change, bring fruits that people may see who Christ is in us still, that people can still see and they can see the true light. But it starts with us, God. Cleanse us, wash us. We need Your blood, Father. We need Your blood. I think about this. Think about this for a moment. When Pontius Pilate told the people of Jerusalem that day who they want to crucify, Barnabas or Jesus, the people shout out, "We rather have Barnabas safe and crucify Jesus." And Pontius Pilate says something key right here. And I love this. This is prophetic right here. Let it be Jesus. Well, Pontius Pilate said, then His blood is on your hands. And I thank this for this words, because if it wasn't for Christ dying for us and the blood being on us for our transgressions and our sins, we will not see the kingdom. And I thank you, God, for dying for our sins, God. I thank you. And I pray for those listening to this message right now. I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. If you want to make this prayer with us right now, do it right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we pray right now. We recognize that we need you. We recognize that we have sinned. We recognize that it goes beyond us, and we need you. I pray that you forgive me. I pray for everything I have done against you, Father, that was not right. And I come before you right now, leaning before you, because I need you. Father God, I pray that you deliver me from whatever it is, and you cleanse me, God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. By faith, I believe that you have saved me. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say, amen. Well, church, if you want to stay here, if you want prayer, you can come up to the front over here. We'll play something right now, and I'll ask Lee to come up right now. But thank you for joining us today, those at Amazing Grace, and those online, thank you for being here with us. All right, hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.